Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. David wrote this psalm after going into Bathsheba. There's something about this, the wording in this psalm, that's very instructing to us. Psalm 51, we won't read the whole psalm, but I want to point out in the midst of this psalm, in three different places, David is pleading to be clean. Look at verse 2. Psalm 51, verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Verse 9, or verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful today to be able to bow before you and pray. Now we ask you, please, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Me, so that I can preach, say what needs to be said about these verses that we'll look at today in Scripture, and all of us, so we can receive the message that you have for us, and also so that we can recognize how your Holy Spirit is applying what's being spoken in our lives individually, so that areas that need to change can be changed in a way that's pleasing to you and in a way that's beneficial to us. We ask you to do these things while magnifying your word and bringing glory to your name, for we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today what we're going to talk about is how to be cleansed from sin. Because that's the subject of the passage that you just read here. David obviously committed a grievous sin, a sin in the Old Testament for which there was no sacrifice. I mean, realistically, David should have died for what happened with Bathsheba and what happened with Uriah, but God didn't take him. And realistically, there are some of us here today, if we would be truthful with God about the sin that's been committed in our life, we shouldn't be here either. And yet David, when he wrote this psalm, said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And so the question then is, how can I be cleansed from sin? That's the question. Now this is our text, and you understand in verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." His prayer and desperate desire was to be clean. And honestly, and you approach the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, or you walk with God through your day, this becomes a very important thing to you as well. To be clean. To be clean. And so we're going to talk about that today. How can I be cleansed from sin? And the answer to that question is found in just a few passages of Scripture in your Bible, and we will look at those. First of all, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in your New Testament. And here is the first thing that we need to know. I can be cleansed from sin by getting saved. Now, it's possible that everybody here this morning is already saved, but I don't want to assume that in case there's somebody here who's not. Just bear with me as we explore this first very important point, because without this one, the others don't matter. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." The list he just gave is not exhaustive. Basically, you could add some sins to the list. The point is, none of us, when we are one of these, will inherit the kingdom of God. But notice what he says in verse 11, and such, I love the next word. Say it with me. Were. Let's try that again. And such, what's the next word? Were some of you, but you are washed, but ye are sanctified. To be sanctified is to be cleansed. Sanctification means something else as well, but in this case, he's cleaned up that sin. You're washed, you're sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I don't know what your past is. Oh, I know bits and pieces, and you know bits and pieces of mine, but you know, we didn't come here to disclose those things that are now behind, those things that we forget. But I want to tell you what. You can thank God today, if you're saved, that whatever it was, you're not that anymore. That's gone. God, in His mercy, not only forgave you, and that in itself is important, but He's changed you. You're not what you were. You know, there are many times in the ministry that I've seen somebody that was deep in sin, well described in verses 9 and 10. But when you see them today, you cannot tell that they came from that past. There's nothing about what they were involved in before that gives you evidence that they were ever involved in that because of the way they've cleaned up today. And they didn't clean up themselves. The Lord got inside and by saving them, changed them from a child of the devil to the child of God. And what they used to do, they don't do, and what they are today is something very different than what you were back then. And many of us can sit here today and hold our hands up and rejoice and say, thank God! Thank God that's gone. You can still remember it. You may have a scar from it, but the truth of the matter is that's not who you are. You are a child of God. You have been cleansed from those sins. You're washed. You're sanctified and justified. You know, justified, the Lord has basically already judged you as it regards those sins and has declared you not guilty. That's a wonderful thing. You know, a lot of people live beat up about their past. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. Because when you got saved, God cleansed that out of your life. And that's not who you are. So getting saved is a very important thing. You know, there are people right now that we know, some of you are witnessing to. And you know, they're at the point where they understand that to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior will give them eternal life, which is their current possession, and a home in heaven after they die. They know that. And you know what? They'll say, I've had them say to me, and I know of one particular individual right now who is saying, you know what? I realize now I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I need to clean up my life a little bit. Forget it. Forget it. You can't do that. He does that. You go to Him and He does the washing. You go to Him and it's like going to the laundromat. You go in dirty and come out clean because of what He's done for you. So if you're here today and you're not saved and yet you know you need to be saved and you maybe have heard this before. It's like one of these days I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Let me make it easy on you. Make that day today. And when there's no question in my mind, I've just seen it too many times. When you bow your head to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you look up from that prayer, you're going to be different. Now, there's a lot more that will change afterwards, but I've seen it. I've heard people say to me, after they've gotten saved, they'll say to me, it's like somebody has just walked in the room and flipped the light on. They've gone from darkness to light and they know it. I've had people say to me, it feels to me like a heavy burden has just been lifted off of my shoulders. That's true. It's like you just got to take a real good shower and all of whatever that was you could smell on you before, you can't smell on you now. And it all happens as the result of saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have that right now. Right now through Jesus Christ. So how can I be cleansed from sin? First of all, by getting saved. You know, in this passage of Scripture, it even talked about somebody that was effeminate. And I know that I've told this story. I don't know that I've told it to you recently. But we have a missionary in the Philippines right now, Gerald Sutek. And years ago, when they were preaching in a place where he was also stationed for a period of time, they were doing public ministry. That's what they do. They go out on the street every week, and many times during the week, to preach, doing public ministry. And there was a fellow that walked up to him during the street meeting that they were having, and he said, when this fellow walked up, in every capacity of this man's life, you could tell that he was effeminate. In his walk, in his talk, in his mannerisms, in the style of his hair, in the clothing that he wore, everything told you this man is effeminate. Okay? And he came and he said, I want to get saved. And he got saved. He got saved. And he came back the next week and he said, I want to help y'all in your street ministry. And Brother Sutek gave him some instruction on how he could. And this man came to church and came to these street meetings every week. He said, I'm going to tell you something. Within 2 years, there was not one thing, any aspect of this man's life, not one trait that could tell you that he ever had that in his past. Not his speech, not his style of hair, not in his mannerism, not in his behavior, not in his dress, not in any capacity. He was a new creature in Christ. You understand? You know what happened? He got cleaned up and he said, how'd that happen? God saved him. And this thing that you're reading about here, such were some of you, took place in his life. And I tell you that because there are a lot of people who will say today, but this is the way God made me. Well, we were all shaped in iniquity. And iniquity manifests itself in many different ways, right? In people's lives. There are people who have a propensity toward adultery and toward idolatry and toward all these things here, toward stealing and toward reviling and toward being drunk. And people say, but this is the way I am. Yeah, but that's not the way you have to be. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, how many things? All things are become new. You want to get cleaned up? Get saved. All right? Now, here's another thing. Now that you're saved, you say, but you know what? Now that I'm saved, I still find that I have to deal with sin. Guess what? All that means is you're not in your coffin yet. That's all that means. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 1. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The spirit and the flesh are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. When I would do good, evil is present with me. So when you get saved and you're a new creature, let me tell you something. Your flesh is still here and it still wants to allow sin to dominate your life because the flesh and sin find pleasure in that. But look, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, well, then we need to understand the context, don't we? If he's making a comment about something in the prior chapter, we need to know what that is. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, what are the next three words? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So after you get saved, there's still cleaning that has to take place, right? And you know that because you'll shower and you'll smell all fluffy and pretty and all that kind of stuff. And a couple of days later, if that long, you're back at it again. You're back at it again. Why? Flesh is stinky. You ever gone on a camping trip? Man, we love to camp, but when you get back from the camping trip, you know, one of the first things you want is a good hot shower. Wow, you're stinky. That's the flesh. All right, so in this case, we're going to have to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, he's talking in reference to some promises that he made in the prior chapter. In the prior chapter, as he's winding things up, he's talking about separating from unclean things, unrighteous things, infidelity. Notice in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18 from chapter 6, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. All right, so second way to cleanse from sin is to separate from the unclean. By separating from the unclean, he said, notice in verse 1 of chapter 7, he said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, look at it, cleanse ourselves. He cleans you and begins to change you when you become a new creature in Christ. You got something to do after that. And what you and I have to do after that is that we've got to separate from the unclean. So here you are, you get saved, and let's say that you know, one of the things mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 was a drunkard, right? Okay. Where do drunkards usually go to get drunk, usually? A bar. All right, so after you get saved and now all of a sudden, you know, God said, I've cleansed you from that. You're a new creature in Christ. The thing to do is not go back to the bar. You say, well, I feel like witnessing to my brothers. Well, you'll be bending an elbow before long. You know, a lot of times people continue to have trouble with sins that they've been saved from after they get saved because they don't break with the unclean things. And there's separation. There's some things that you have to turn away from, some things that you can't be involved in anymore. If you had trouble with sensual sins, then you want to change your contract with your television provider so there are certain things you can't see anymore. There's certain places that you don't want to go on the computer anymore. There are certain places and certain people that you don't want to go and with whom you don't want to hang out. You have to make that separation. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. This is where I think early on how your life is going to go as a Christian is determined. There are early on, you've got to make some sudden breaks with some things that some people you hang out with and some places you go, some unclean things. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. We're in the middle of this context about some bad people. Some false prophets, some false teachers. Verse 18. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, watch it, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. You see that? When you get saved, God is calling you to separate. And here is somebody that was clean escaped from them who live in error. And when you make that break, you want to be cleansed from sin, then keep that separation. Keep that separation. All right, take for instance this. High school students growing up in a church like this, homeschooled. Right? Or let's say running with good friends in a local high school and staying in church, staying in Sunday school, right? So that they're not involved in unclean things. Okay? Then they go to college. Okay? Then they go to college. And they are allured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. They were clean escape from them who live in error, but now they are there. While they, that is the people that are there, promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen it. Kids grow up in church, get saved, and live here, and then go off out into the world to get a job or get into college and go get allured into this unclean stuff. They are harder to bring back than lost people to get saved. They really are. Our prayer list on Wednesday night is full of them. Verse 21, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You have to make some decisions about who you're going to hang out with and where you're going to go, and you have to accept the responsibility. For me to be cleansed from sin, I've got to make a break. Got to make a break. That's on you. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You make the decision. You purge yourself from these things. Do you understand that? If you keep hanging around the area where the trouble is going to allure you back into that from which God saved you. Yeah, it's just the truth. So how can I be cleansed from sin? First of all, by getting saved. Secondly, by separating from the unclean. Listen, the hard part is not figuring out what's clean and unclean. You already know. The hard part is staying away from it. Just make a decision that I'm done with that. I'm not going there. All right, so that's separating from the unclean. How can I be cleansed from sin? Third thing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 3. But I'll ask you a question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3 is where we're going to begin reading. Before we read it, I want to ask you a question. I mean, because the vast majority, or if not all of us in here, are saved. Does it trouble you when sin gets into, no matter how big or little, gets into your life and causes you to be unclean before God? Does that bother you? Yeah, it bothers me too. A lot. And that's a good thing. It should. It should. But oftentimes what it does, we're kind of like, Lord, I got to get clean from this. I've got to get up from my prayer and know that it's okay between you and me, that you've done something to clean this up. That's what we're going through right now. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, make a break with the unclean. Right? I can go to a barbecue restaurant, right? And I'm going to come out of there in a few minutes smelling like I've been to a barbecue restaurant. I can go to a Mexican food restaurant and I can come out of there in a few minutes. And you want to go to a Mexican food restaurant because of what you're smelling, right? So you hang around things like that, it just gets on you. Correct? So you make that break. And then this thing here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's that cleansing, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, specifically, Paul is talking about one particular sin that was a problem amongst the Thessalonians, and that was fornication. And he said, this is the will of God. Your sanctification, abstain from fornication. And that was a big problem. Listen, it's a big problem for Gentiles today. It's a big problem in the society in which we live today. Okay, so it's not different today than it was then. But you say, well, what if I'm not doing that? Well, the idea is the will of God is your sanctification. In other words, fornication is one of the sins that they were having to deal with here. But you should know, and I should know, how to possess my vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. I'm going to just give you a quick lesson on concupiscence. It's a lot like the word lasciviousness. And once you know one, you say, see, I'm so edified. I got it. I can walk out of here and know exactly. You don't know the definition to either one of them. We had a Bible study with the men the other day, and we did a thorough Bible study on lasciviousness. And actually, it was very good because it gave us such a clear thing. Inside of you and inside of me, there is lust. And that lust is not, that in itself, in and of itself, is not a bad thing. It's what's going to cause you in about 20 minutes to get fed up with me if I'm still preaching, because you want to go eat. Right? So you already understand that lasciviousness is where this thing gets twisted up and the lust is controlling you. You're not controlling the lust. And generally it has to do with sensual matters like fornication. Concupiscence is also very much, it's a strong sensual desire, but may I tell you something? That strong sensual desire of concupiscence that comes from this lust that's in you of lasciviousness, when it gets out of whack, can be satisfied without you actually doing something wrong, but just by feeding the desire that you have. That's why I don't want to get off into the various kinds of things. That's why some people get off on pornography. They're not actually physically with the woman, but they see it and it's feeding the concupiscence. That's what I'm talking about. So when he says here in that deal about that concupiscence, what he's telling you is you got to get what this thing wants to do under control. Got it? And the manifestation of the sin in Thessalonica at the time was fornication, which, as I said, is going on today, but it's not the only thing. You got to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. So what's the third thing? By abstaining from sin. How are you going to cleanse yourself? By getting saved, right? By separating from the unclean, and by abstaining from sin. Do you understand when a person, for instance, has trouble with smoking? They're like, oh my God, I wish God would deliver me from the cigarettes. And I'm like, he's not going to do that. He's not the one that gave them to you, so he's not the one that's going to take them away. You say, well, what do I do about this? You quit smoking. You say, well, preacher, do you know how hard that is? It must be very hard, because when people that are dealing with it have a very hard time, you know what you got to do? You got to take that option off the table. I've learned something about that. Oh, I got one in my pocket. Not a cigarette. That got you. A pen. I've learned something about smoking. If you don't put it in your mouth, you can't smoke it. Baby. And that's what you got to stop. You got to quit putting it in your mouth. You say, well, you don't even know how crazy I'm going to be. That's okay. You'll get over yourself by the grace of God. Because the grace of God is sufficient to deal with you at the place of temptation, because what? There's no temptation taking you, but just such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You want to stop? Put them down. You'll never smoke again if you don't pick one up. Ever. I had a friend of mine, and he said, you know what he said? He said, it's too expensive to quit smoking. He lived in Beeville, and he'd have to go to San Antonio for meetings. He said, I smoke a cigarette, and I get so guilty, I throw the cigarette and lighter out, and by the time I got to Pettus, I have to buy another pack and another lighter. And by the time I get to Kennedy, out the window. He said, man, I've thrown 5 lighters and 5 packs of cigarettes out the window. He said, it's too expensive to quit smoking. The truth of the matter is, he never did quit, did he? And why are you picking on smoking? Because I'm not doing it. I'm gonna pick on yours instead of mine. No, listen, it's just this very simply. Please listen. Take the option off the table. No matter what I'm going to do, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. You know, that's the solution. We could talk about numerous sins. I picked on one, but I don't want to just sit here and try to think of everything. Let me see. What are you doing? Oh, yeah. You know, another thing? You know, Now, I'm not going to go down that. What I'm going to tell you is take the option off the table. Abstain. You say, that's hard. Yes, it's hard. Sin is a difficult thing. But I guarantee you, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There's always more grace than there is the temptation to sin. How can I be cleansed from sin? By getting saved, by separating from the unclean, by abstaining from the sin. How else can I be sinned? I'm sinned. Well, I'll tell you, that's not hard. Cleansed. 1 John chapter 1. Okay? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, this works every single time. Verse 7, 8, and 9. What is it? By confessing my sin. How can I be cleansed? By confessing my sin. I want to expand on it a little bit, but look at verse 7 in 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from what? All sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. You and I are not perfect. Many of us have already sinned today. It's in your flesh. It's here. I was shaping in iniquity, David said in Psalm 54. So it's in there. All right, God understands that. So what He said to you is, if you'll confess it, I'll clean it. You know, the neat thing about confession is it's guaranteed because of what Christ did at Calvary. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So the forgiveness is there. But what He wants you to do is He wants you to be able to go to Him and admit to Him, what I just did is a sin. You know, there are a lot of people that will sit down to a meal, and I love it. They get all their praying done right before they eat. Dear God, thank You for this day, so Thanksgiving, right? Forgive us of all our sins, so they've confessed, and bless this food in Jesus' name, amen. They got it all covered. But that's not going to help you because you're not identity. To confess sin is to say with the Lord, I agree that what I just thought, what I just said, what I just did is a sin, and I want You to cleanse me from this sin. When you've done that, the thing is that you have identified an area of your life that you still want to change. So He cleanses it, and when He cleanses it, you and He have identified that as a sin as it is identified in the Bible, and that's something that He wants you to get cleaned up so that you're not doing that anymore. You understand? Many of you understand because you've already seen it, but I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of people that are walking around, preacher, I still have trouble with this, that, and the other thing. Okay, we get it, but why don't you ask God to forgive you for that and ask Him to clean you for that and get over that, whatever that sin is, right? I don't want to walk around. So the Bible says we're to fear God and walk with God. I don't want to be walking with God smelling up the place. Right? And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's something that puts a stench between our relationship and Him that He wants out of the way. And He said, let's clean that up. What you're doing right there is a sin. Let's get that cleaned up. I love the fact that we can confess our sins and get that cleaned up because, listen, have you ever gone before the Lord in prayer and while you're praying, you sense during that time of prayer that there's a little bit of a roadblock between you and God? Give me a head nod if you've ever sensed that. Right? Okay? And I've certainly sensed that. And when I am, I'm like, Lord, you know the verse, search me and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And you know, if you'll sit there still for a moment, the Lord will bring to your mind the thing that is upsetting Him in your relationship with Him. Is that right? Okay, it is right. And when He brings it, then you say, I didn't even think about that, Lord. And then you confess that sin to the Lord. He cleanses that. But may I tell you something? When He cleanses it, when He cleanses it, that thing is no longer a problem at that moment between you and God. And the connection, the fellowship is restored. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all unrighteousness and all sin. Doesn't that give you a great lift of joy in your relationship when you know the Lord's washed that thing out and all of a sudden there's nothing between you? You know, when Ann and I get crosswise, it happens. Occasionally, rarely. Dear Lord, I confess that I did not tell the truth just then. Please forgive me. I don't want anything between us while we're in the middle of this sermon. Yeah, you get crosswise. You get cross. You live under the same roof. When we get crosswise, I guarantee you, when we identify, sorry, that I did that right there, please forgive me, and it's done, it's done. The fellowship is sweeter than when one is upset with the other because of something that was done or said. Correct? God's the same way. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse that by confessing your sin. How are we doing? Okay. I'm going to give you something else that's practical. John 17:17. John 17:17. So get saved, separate from the unclean, take the sin off the table, abstain from the sin, confess your sin. Here's the next one. How am I going to be cleansed from my sin? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ in John 15:3 told his disciples, "Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." That's what the Bible says. You want to get some sin cleaned out of your life? Open this book and read it. And heed it. Absolutely. It happens every time. When sin starts separating you from the Lord and affecting your fellowship, your Bible reading slows down or goes to nothing. Every time. We used to go over to Jubilee and over to the City of Hope over there in the roll-off ministries and teach on Thursday mornings to the men and then to the ladies. You know what? Every one of them to the T all said the same thing. When my life really began to spiral, dust had gathered on my Bible. This, Bob Jones Sr. said it, he was absolutely telling the truth. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. You want to get some sin cleaned out of your life? Read what God has to say and heed what God has to say, and He will clean your life. You watch any Christian that gets saved early on in their time. If they separate from unclean things, start abstaining from the sins that got them into trouble, learn to confess their sins when they come up and get in this book, they will grow faster and change more thoroughly than a Christian who gets saved. 5 years later, you saved? You don't even know whether they're saved. You say, "Yeah, I got saved 5 years ago. What happened? Oh, we had a conference, you know, and I went there and I got saved." But your life doesn't indicate it. You know why? Nothing here. Nothing in the Bible. You want to get cleaned up? I asked the question, how many of you like to be clean in your fellowship with the Lord? There were heads nodding all over the building. You know what you got to do? You got to stay in this book. Absolutely. Two young men right now that grew up in this church that got off into the world and sin has taken over. And both of them have talked to me recently and both of them have said we need to get right with God. And neither one of them will pick this book up right now. It's a wasted effort. You're a squirrel running in a cage. You're not going to make any progress. You won't get off that merry-go-round if you don't get in here and take heed to what the book says. I'm going to give you one more. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. This will really, really help you. All of these should help you. My prayer is that if you've hit a snag in your relationship with the Lord is saying something to you in this message and put his finger on it and say, right there, listen to that. That's the area where we're snagged up right now. Get that done and I'll cleanse that sin out of your life. All right, here it is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. By getting saved, by separating from the unclean, by abstaining from sin, by confessing my sin, by reading the word, and finally by pleading the blood. By pleading the blood. Right there, Hebrews 9:14. I'm going to ask the question because I want you to think about it, but like the others, you don't need to give me a visual or verbal answer. How many people here would testify, if you were to testify, when I bow my head in prayer sometimes, wicked thoughts come to mind? When I would do good, evil is present with me. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. It happens. All right, well, you can let those birds, as one man said, build a nest in your head, or you can get them to move on. You say, well, man, it's hard for me to get those things to move on. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. You say, how? I heard a preacher describe it this way one time. I took him up on the description, and I've been doing it ever since. And you know what? It works. Okay? So here you are. You know what happens? You get still. When you pray, you get still. See, the kids are wherever they are, and he's wherever he is or she's wherever she is, and TV's off and all that. Now you're praying. You're by yourself with the Lord. You're praying quiet. People say, I pray in my car on the way to work. Well, I'm glad you do, but it's hard to get quiet when you're, oh, wow, did you, whoa. Was that Ann Welder that just went by? Wow. You know. So, you get it quiet like that, and things settle down. Then all of a sudden your mind starts, right? You know what I'm talking about. And he says, you're going to have to purge that conscience. Here's what you do. While you're on your knees, quiet and settled, and the thought comes in that you know doesn't belong there, sinful temptation, sinful imagination. You say to the Lord, you know, secret things like that are generally hidden. You say to the Lord, no. Lord, I've come to present myself before your throne in prayer. This wicked imagination has just come up. I want you to display it on a screen as big as this wall behind me, right in front of your throne. And you look at what I'm imagining right now, and if you don't like the look of that, obliterate it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Purge it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, all I can say is the blood of Jesus Christ is eternally efficacious, meaning it works today like it did the day that it did for the thief on the cross when Jesus Christ died. You tell him, get that thing under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's gone. It's gone. He will purge your conscience from dead works. You start mulling over regrets of the past, plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll wash that thing. He'll get it out of there and purge that conscience so that you're not sitting there harboring those thoughts and memories about things or imaginations that could lead to temptations that he needs to cleanse out of there. How can I get cleansed from sin? By pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, if you take, though your sins be like crimson, if you take red writing and put it under a red glass, you can't read it. It disappears. When you put sins like crimson under the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't see them. They're invisible. They're gone. Get the blood of Jesus Christ to be pleaded over those sins, and God does it. So how can I be cleansed from sin? If you're here today without Jesus Christ and you've not gotten saved, you can be cleansed from your sin today and become something that you weren't the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. You should do that today. When we finish this service, I'll be in that for you. Walk up to me, preacher, and say, I need to get saved. And we'll talk to Jesus and you can get saved. By separating from the unclean, you've got a friend, you've got a place that is still bringing you back into sin. Get away. By abstaining from sin, you've got sin in your life and you still pick it up. Take it off the table. By confessing my sin, you and God acknowledge that what you're doing is wrong and ask Him to cleanse it, and He'll start changing your life. By reading the Word, this will purge you, and by pleading the blood. And you know what? You know what? You'll get the answer to prayer like David did in Psalm 51. He'll create in you a clean heart, and that's what you need. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to be able to preach the words of God. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, take these things we've heard and help us now to be good, not only at remembering what we've heard, but utilizing what we've heard so we can actually see these changes in our lives that you're talking about in the Scripture. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. God's spoken to you, spoken to all of us. And our prayer is then that you'll be willing to apply these things in your life. I've always found, and you do as well, that you during the invitation, speak to God about the things He's spoken to you. Some do that right where they're standing. Some do that where they're kneeling. They kneel in their chairs. Some come to the altar. Wherever you and God, some take it home and deal with it there. Wherever you and God can get together on this. And allow the things that you've heard today to help you make the changes that you have desired and He has desired in the very things we've discussed today. Father, help us to be very faithful to do just that. For Jesus' sake, amen.